Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. It seems like we have almost spent the entire year so far of 2019 teaching from the book of Galatians. This is the first epistle of the New Testament. It was written before the Gospels. It's most likely Paul's first written, recorded, preserved communication, not only to the churches of Galatia, but to the churches, that is, those people who belong to the Lord throughout the whole world. And it seems so long ago that we would be reminded of how Paul opens this epistle, wherein he says, Paul, an apostle. That means sent one, not of men, neither by man. Paul, a sent one, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Grace, unmerited favor. Paul begins this first message to the church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And my question to you, which was put to me years and years ago by my pastor, was, who the hell else matters? We have peace, Paul, the sent one of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. We have peace. That's Paul's message. Who else matters? Who, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We have, as we said, been teaching for the better part of 4 full months out of this letter from Paul. God's message is this world to those who are his, that this world is not our home. Those who are of the family of faith have the upward look, who are daily being renewed, that inward man, that new creation, that which is not seen. Oh, there may be outbreaks of the Spirit here and there, but the emphasis in our lives is being children of God. We look for that eternal life with Jesus Christ and God our Father. And it's a journey of faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The confidence of things not seen. We're going to draw to a conclusion today in this teaching. Paul says in the 25th verse of the 5th chapter, so called, remember he wrote a letter. He didn't write chapter and verse. This is for our reference. We should be aware of that. Paul says in the 25th verse of the 5th chapter of this wonderful epistle of Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Digging deeper into these words out of the Greek, it says, let us not challenge like combat. Vain glory. Provoking one another. Envying one another. That is, desiring to deprive another. And the 6th chapter opens and says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, knowing we are under the control of another, specifically of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, considering ourselves, lest thou also be, King James says, tempted. It's the same word. There's a note in the margin on this verse. It says an alternative to the word being translated if here is, excuse me, although. Although a man be taken over, be overtaken in a fault. It doesn't mean you caught him or caught her. It doesn't mean I caught him or caught her. It means the flesh, which warreth against the spirit, sometimes gets out. Let's, for a moment though, look at this word, if, or what I believe to be the better translation, although a man be overtaken in a fault. The definition of although is all, it, even though, grant all this, be it so, supposed that, even though, admit all that, it goes with that last verse of the fifth chapter. What if I caught you, or what if you caught me? What if I be overtaken? What if you be overtaken in a fault? The admonition is, ye which are spiritual. Listen, you, which have discernment, you which discern, that is, you which have an understanding of that which is separate, and that which is separate is flesh and spirit. It says, restore. It doesn't say condemn. It doesn't say, oh, we found this guy committing adultery. Let's call a presbytery board and make him confess in front of the whole congregation that we might judge him. Oh, no. Restore. Continue to let God's word prevail. That the Spirit of God may be revived. May be renewed. And the word declares, we are being renewed day by day. That the inward man, that is the spiritual man, that is the one, A1, whom God has given discernment. Let him restore. Let him renew in the spirit of meekness, because there's no doubt a day coming that this flesh is going to come out in us. Bear ye one another's burdens. Take it upon yourself. Don't be pointing the finger of condemnation. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wherein he said, love one another. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, and this is applicable to me first, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, Paul declares, and I declare, is of God. But, Paul says, let every man prove his own work, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In one of my study Bibles, that 1769 Oxford Standard Edition, the most rare of all King James publications, it gives me a reference to the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, wherein it says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. There's another reference to the Gospel of Luke. Not that Paul is quoting Luke, but you know, the amazing consistency of God's word. The 18th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse, this is that wonderful passage where Jesus says that men ought always to pray, but as he spake a parable, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee, and one was the other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as, and he points to the publican. Folks, this relationship that God has called us into, this life of faith, it's not horizontal comparison to someone else. It is a direct vertical relationship from God to us and from us to God. Paul says Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. His declaration was, of whom I am chiefest. That's why he opens this epistle with grace, unmerited favor. It's not horizontal. sixth verse. Paul, now he's given astounding, astonishing doctrine from the very opening of this epistle to the Galatians. And now he gives us a couple of things which the ones who have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, one and the same. Jesus said, the Father and I are one and the same. It's a, he tells us first, those who have that Spirit, who discern, were to restore one overtaken. Read the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. One overtaken. One doing that which they would not do, and not doing that which they would do. That's a good description of the flesh to those who discern. And it says, restore. How do we restore? By the word of God, by the promise of God. He says now another thing that we are to give attention to, that is, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. This word taught, it means to din. It means with constant repetition. And I think here at the God School, we are, at least it is our hope, that we are constantly dinning in. The word has to be constantly dinned into me. It means a hammering, if you will, into this thick skull, into our thick skulls. The word, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, unto eternal life. We don't tell you how to till the ground, how to, you know, build a better internet site, how to win friends and influence people. We tell you of the relationship that God and Jesus Christ are having with you, and you are having with him, that is, by the life of faith. This is what we din with constant repetition. And if you have been a recipient of this dinning of the word of God, Paul says, communicate. Yeah, you know, I just really find it interesting that and I'm not condemning the King James Bible translators, but so often when a great truth of God is being communicated, they somehow dumb it down. The word here is koinonia. The word means joint fellowship. The word means if you've been taught, you are to have joint fellowship, that is, by the giving of things, of good things, to the one who taught you. Paul says in another place, in 1 Timothy 5, 17th verse, it says, let the elders that rule, and that doesn't mean do this, do that, do the other thing. That's talking about the ones who are watching for your soul. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of a double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Not in men's doctrine, not in creeds, but in the astonishing words of God. And if you have any discernment, you are astonished at the doctrine of God and His grace. The half has not been told of the grace of God. Not that I'm sufficient, but for these 12 plus years, we have been teaching the word. And we have been teaching the doctrines of God, those astonishing truths which are revealed in God's word. Let those that have been taught communicate, jointly participate. With all good things, with the one who dins the truth of the word by constant repetition, that we all might continue in faith. Paul says, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, sow a seed to this ministry, because God promises 100-fold in return in this life. Key word, in this life. Give to get. Sorry, that's not a doctrine of God. Be not deceived. For he that soweth to the flesh, if you're giving that you might get back in this life, in this world, which is not of Christ's kingdom, you're being deceived. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's what we're talking about, folks. Everlasting life. Eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. And let us, Paul says, not be weary in well-doing. What's the well-doing he's talking about? That is that communication, that is that joint participation, that is that giving of good things to the teacher. Let us not lack the courage to continue. Let us not lose heart. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul's drawing to a conclusion now. You see, with what large letters I have written unto you with mine own hand, as many as desire, he's going to finish now, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. We spoke last week on those words. That Jesus uttered from the cross. And his last words were, "It is finished." If those in the church put all confidence in the Son of God who said the work that he came to perform, that it was finished, they'd no longer be talking about keeping the law, that type of the law, which is circumcision or any other part of the law as a manifestation of the result of the life of faith, which is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. But they, because they're not going to suffer persecution, they're not going to acknowledge that Jesus said it's finished. Because if they did, they might suffer. No, not might. 40 years in this way, folks. I can tell you there is no doubt. But if we preach the cross of Christ, persecution is going to be part of our lot. But we also have the grace, unmerited favor, and peace from God, which surpasses all understanding. but they desire to have you circumcised, that they might glory in your flesh. Look, look, look what I did. I saved that guy over there. I saved this guy over there. I gave $20 to save 100,000 souls in Africa. Blah, 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 blah. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Oh, what confidence Paul has in Jesus. And what he did. Whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation, that inward man which is renewed day by day, and that by the word of God, that by the life of faith, that, I love the example that Dr. Scott used to give, an analogy of faith. I'm in a house. I'm looking at an electrical plug. I have an understanding and some knowledge. I'm not an electrician, but I have an understanding that there is electricity being generated in that plug. But it is only manifest when I plug into that, plug the cord into that outlet of power and the light bulb comes on. When we operate in faith, immediately, by God's word, we have the earnest of our inheritance. That is the part payment of that which will be whole. That is the Spirit of God. Works or no works. I'm not against the law. I need to say that because there is a movement that has existed in the church. It's called antinomianism. I'm not against the law. I agree the law, like Paul says in Romans 7, the law is good. But I'm not counting on my performance of the law. I'm counting on Christ's performance of the law. He says, that the law shall not be removed till every jot or tittle of the law is fulfilled. And Christ came and he fulfilled all the law, every jot and tittle of the law. It is. The law as that which we relate to for our righteousness has been removed. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We speak of a new righteousness, that which is God's righteousness. That's the only righteousness God's interested in. That's why Paul says, for in that place where God has put his chosen, has put his grace, has put that gift of faith in, for in Christ Jesus. That's where God puts us. That's who God sees us as. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel, that is, those who have power with God, and upon those who have power of God. From henceforth, let no man, Paul is closing, from now on, let no man trouble me. I put forth the doctrine of God. I put forth his word, the astonishing word, astonishing doctrine of God. He concludes, from now on, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word being translated here is stigmata. I go back to my very early Catholic school days. I believe it goes back to the time I was like 7 years old when, I got to take Holy Communion and I got to go to confession, and they gave me this thing called a scapula. It was, I can't even remember. It was a picture of something that you wear around your neck. And being taught about certain saints in the church who were gifted with the stigmata, and they translated that into the wounds, in the hands and the feet and the sides of Jesus Christ, that they were somehow particularly blessed because they had these wounds. Oh, my God. Such nonsense. Paul says, I bear the marks of a bondslave of Jesus Christ. I'm his. You're his. Let no man trouble you. And as Paul began, he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That new creature, that new creation, that inward man, which is being renewed day by day, be with your spirit. Amen. Paul has no doubt in all that he said from the opening verse to the closing verse. He says, no doubt. And I say to you, by the words of the one not sent by man, neither taught of man, but by the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, grace unto your spirit. Amen.